Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. There goes my notes. So it's going to be really short. It's just wonderful that we can get together, kind of away from the cares of the world, and to talk about the things of God. So many times, you know, we think about, you know, how much we know about the scriptures and really how it's laid out to us plain and simple, but how hard indeed it is to apply it in our lives. And so it's great benefit when we can come together and remind ourselves of the wonderful blessings that we have and the hope of the truth. So we continue with our studies with Hebrews, specifically the 12th chapter. And then we have the Apostle Paul there just continuing. And he says that there's, you know, such a great cloud of witnesses. And so in the 12th chapter, he's drawing our minds back to what we just read in the 11th chapter about how many great examples of faith that we have. We have Abraham and Moses and all those that were persecuted for the truth's sake, and yet they were mighty men and women of faith. And so we also think about in the ecclesial environment how certainly we have examples and how we're to be examples one to the other, and we sort of build each other up, or we should. And you know, what we say is really only half of what the picture is. The other half, just as important, is the way that we live, and we are to live a godly lifestyle for righteousness' sake. And we're also to be examples one to another. And there's great volume or value in that. You know, as witnesses, we can encourage or discourage others in the truth. And it's a great responsibility. And how many times we've seen with a word where we've built each other up, and with a word how we've destroyed each other. And so there's both a caution and a great responsibility and an exhortation of what we can actually do for one another. And then Paul continues with the powerful phrases to motivate. Phrases like lay aside and run with patience and looking unto Jesus. These are key directives that will help us overcome the flesh and ultimately, by the grace of God, inherit the kingdom. So certainly we'll want to talk about those points in the discussion. But the directive to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us is something that tells us that we're all involved in it, because we all have the nature of Adam. And we're all prone to sin. And there's really no way around that. And Dr. Thomas said, and we're very familiar with it, and I'm paraphrasing, but that it's certainly not your fault, but your misfortune that you bear this nature. But yet, there's still a call to do something about it. So obviously, the question becomes, how do we lay it aside, because it's what we are? And really, the only way to do that is to put something in its place. And by nature, we're kind of in the muck and the mire. We have the carnal mind. So as we lay aside, we obviously have to put the things of God in its place. And that's what Paul is reminding us to do. He says, first of all, we're in a race. And some of us are getting to the starting block, and some of us are at the starting block, and some of us are at various points on the racetrack, and certainly there are those of us that are about to finish the race. But at any rate, in order to be in a race, you have to exert yourself. In order to win the race, you have to exert yourself even more and to be involved in training. So he tells us that all the runners, their success is determined by how focused they are on the perfect example, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And once our eyes drift off him, that's when we get into trouble, and all that sinful propensity that besets us will come back to us easily. So Paul says to look to him, to use him as our example, to use him as our benchmark. And, certainly the higher benchmark that we set as our example, the better it is. If you were to use me as a benchmark, you might look relatively good. But obviously, if you're using the Lord Jesus Christ as a benchmark, that means you're elevating your standards. That means that you're looking upward, and so you're getting out of the muck and the mire that besets you and raising your eye to the one who is going to teach you how to live your life. And so certainly, God wants us to empty ourselves of that carnal mind and to take upon us the mind of Christ. And that's essentially what the Apostle Paul is telling us. And he says, in so doing, you have a great reward. And certainly he brings out that the reward is the thing that propelled Christ through the horrible submission to the cross and the gainsaying of evil men. And he knew what his reward was, to sit at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and that he would be the heir of the kingdom, to sit upon the throne of David. And certainly our minds are indeed focused, I guess that's the word, but through the word look, we've got to have a vision of the kingdom. And Brother Len talked at length about that the other day, and he sort of stole my thunder, but I was kind of glad he did, and did a great job. But certainly, if we're looking to Christ every day, and we have a vision of the kingdom every day, it's certainly going to make us better sons and daughters of God. So that's the key to our success. The vision of the hope that is set before us, it's not only going to comfort us when we're struggling, but it's going to keep us walking a straight line. And I think that maybe the Apostle Paul kind of lifted the next aspect of the chastening and the vision out of the Proverbs, because there in 29, there verse 16 or 17, he says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest; yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish," or as the RV has it, "cast off restraint." So without the vision, certainly it's easy to go back to lowering our standards and succumbing to the sin that doth so easily beset us. And certainly Paul tells us that we can expect trials and chastening in our lives if God loves us, and that's part of the process to make you a vessel unto honor. It's all to our profit, says Paul, and very needful to shape our characters. And really, so much of our character building is in God's realm. Some of it comes from experience, and certainly some of it comes from ecclesial life. But the deep-seated issues of life that only the Heavenly Father knows that you need to be fixed up, he certainly is able to do it, and he will do it to in essence, save your life and to make you a vessel unto honor. And certainly, we all know about trials and tribulation, and it makes us uncomfortable, as the Apostle Paul says, for the present. But afterward, it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness in you. And you really have to believe that. When struggling through trials and tribulations, and certainly I think most of us know that and have experienced those sort of difficulties in our lives. So in contrast to a righteous man, Paul speaks of Esau as a profane man next, and so for just a meal, he gave away his birthright. And you know, we read it in just a few seconds about Esau, and you know, at first glance it appears that he was dying of starvation, and that Jacob took advantage of the situation. But you know, in essence, when we really take a look at it, Esau was hungry, and I'm sure he was very hungry, but he wasn't at the point of actual death. Certainly his motivation was he didn't really care for the birthright and the things of God. And so that meal, he was very willing to give it up to Jacob. And so he's put in there as a type of those who really reject the truth and the things that are profitable. The next portion that we come to is, again, in Hebrews, Paul draws a contrast between the Mosaic law and the law of grace, and how really the law of grace is so much more elevated and really... the higher that we need to elevate our minds in order to appreciate it. And so there at the end of chapter 12, it ends with the argument that if we are to receive the reward of the kingdom, we should be thankful rather than thinking of the discipline of the truth as a burden. And really not only thankful, but we should be moved to lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us, and serve God acceptably with reverentially godly respect.